I'm sort of better known when you walk down the streets at being that sort of Olympic, world, European and Commonwealth champion. It's crazy, really, how many people still say, I remember that night and where I was, which is madness after all these years.
Patrick Garth, very quick indeed.
I'm excited for the next 20 years. I've got no insight in ever wanting to stop what I do. Always having people you look up to and role models. And, you know, I always did in sport, always, all the way through.
Second place, Gunnell comes fast, and she's got to attack a hard.
You win an Olympic gold medal, you're like, right, well, that's fine, what's next? You're so scared of failure. You're so scared of not being that athlete. You're so scared of what people are going to say.
This young woman is the Olympic champion, the world champion, and the world record holder.
What is it actually going to take to get there?
Hello and welcome back to Rocket Pod. On today's show, we're joined by Sally Gunnell.
Sally is a Olympic gold medalist and...
As many of you know, Sally was our first guest on season one when we first launched Rocket Pod. So we're delighted to revisit Sally and her journey and learn about what's next for Sally.
Yeah, it was great meeting her for the first time. Obviously, I wasn't here when she first came on, but it was an absolute pleasure and I definitely learned a lot. So enjoy.
Welcome, Sally. Sally, welcome back to Rocket Pod.
Thank you. Gosh, I can't believe you just said 3 years. Wow, since that first episode.
Yeah, and
that's
actually
crazy.
And you were our first guest. So, you know, you're an incredible sport. Mm-hmm. And there's no pun intended. but it's really nice to have you back.
Thank you.
And I guess for those listeners out there, if you want to kind of learn about Sally's career highlights, the first episode, we kind of go through that. But I think that for today's episode, it's really, you know, what are you up to now? And anything you can share as far as, you know, what brought you to where you are now and any message that you want to kind of get out there in the world. Did you want to add to that, Xander?
Yeah, I think maybe just a little elevator pitch, a quick who's Sally. And what are you doing now?
Yeah, so I'm sort of better known when you walk down the streets at being that sort of Olympic, world, European and Commonwealth champion. And it's crazy, really, how many people still say, I remember that night and where I was, which is madness after all these years. But, you know, been retired quite a few years now and very much been around the corporate sort of speaking environment. But a lot of that since sort of COVID has gone much more around health and well-being, which is something that I'm very passionate about.
So what are the big projects you're working on now?
Well, I think it's one of those things that you, you have to keep reinventing yourself almost, you know. I really believe that you become stale in what you do. And I think, to me, it's all about having passion, having energy, and having happiness in your life. And I think so often, you know, if we are doing the same thing, the same routine, going to the same place, eating the same food, doing the same exercise, you are going to lose that sort of real buzz from it. So I think that's something that I've sort of reflected from, you know, from the day you retire, because it's quite a scary day almost. But I sort of went out and did, and I still do now, you know, what I would have done in my athletics days of having a vision, knowing what I want to achieve. You know, it doesn't have to be massive like, you know, it was. But I think it just helps me to have that sort of energy for life, to have a, you know, that feeling good when you get up in the morning and I know what I'm going to do. And, you know, not everything goes plain sailing. You know, some of the bits I'm involved in, you know, there's always difficulties, there's always hiccups. But then that pushes me on almost. That's where I sort of learn from certain things. And I always go back to, you know, every day that I was training, you know, I failed every single day because, you know, you were trying to get better at something. And I think I've really taken that on with me. And I think it's a good sort of outlook to have because, you know, you do realize that lots of things, there's lots of challenges, but it's about grasping those and helping you to move on and find what you really want to do. Not getting stale with the things you do. All sorts.
I resonate with that so much. Like, I get bored so easily. That's why I have so many different interests. I've got music, I've got football, I've got like all these things, because I need something different every day. I need to be doing something different, or else, yeah, I lose some motivation. I know there's talk with, does it even really, like, motivation? Do you motivate yourself to do to get things done? And I think what you touched on, which was waking up in the morning and knowing what you're going to do, I think that was really interesting, because a lot of people don't do that. They don't wake up and know what they're going to do. So do you have a little bit of advice? Like, do you plan that morning when you wake up, and then you plan your day, or do you do it the night before, or do you plan your whole week?
No, I usually do it a little bit the night before. Mm-hmm. So I'll look at that next day, you know, and I will slot things in. So, you know, exercise is very important to me. You know, it's not about, well, it is about the physical side, but it's much more about, it gets me, I don't know, in a great mood in the morning. Mm. It makes me have much more of a positive outlook. So that is almost my priority. So I always do that sort of 7 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And that sort of is the, you know, first thing that goes in. And then, you know, because, you know, each of my days are very varied. And I guess that's sometimes different to other people. But, and I love it like that. Mm. And that's good. But I have to have, make sure I have that structure. So I am a bit of a list person, so I will put down lots of different, you know, just phone calls that I've got to do, or clean one of the boys' bedrooms, or, you know what I mean? It's some of it's still really going. Mundane. But it's on my list, and I just feel good when I've started to work through it.
Yeah.
And I get a sense of achievement from it. And, you know, and I think because, you know, working wise, there's so much going on. You know, we're just building a new workshop around life skills, and it sort of comes off the back of my speaking engagements, because you often go into a company, an organization, you speak to amazing people with all talks of life, and you inspire them for an hour. And they all come out buzzing and like, and then, and, you know, and so often people do lose that confidence in moving that next step forward. And I sort of feel sometimes even just after that hour, people are like, God, you've made me think, I'm going to go for it, because, you know, it doesn't matter. I can always, you know, turn left at some point if I need to or whatever, but I've just got to get out. So the workshop, it is very much a sort of like a 12-week life skills workshop, but includes exercise programs, personal exercise programs, personal nutritional programs, as well as sort of life skills around, you know, working out what your vision is, how you get over, you know, those disappointments, how you get over those sort of barriers. Looking at, you know, as I guess, as you get into your 50s, you sort of, that sort of health piece becomes much more prevalent, because you're like, whoa, how long have I got left in this world? And, you know, have I done what I need to do? So there's quite a lot in there about healthy aging, longevity, because we all want to be as fit and active as we can, and to have a good experience of, you know, of growing old. So it's like, what do we need to put in place? How our hormones affect us, that's a whole new area. Not just women, definitely, but men as well. And so there's all sorts of bits like that in there as well. So after the 12 weeks, you sort of feel like you've, you know, taken people on a real change and looked at how you break habits and all of those sorts of things, because, you know, it's all a psychological thing, and having at the end of it, you feel like you've gone through something and you've got that vision and you know where you're going, because lots of people feel lost in their lives they haven't got that direction.
I like the kind of holistic approach to the 12-week program as well. It's not just business and it's not just health. It's, you know, you've got worked in nutrition in there as well. And I think you know, when we had interviewed you, you know, back when we first launched Rocket Pod, you talked about that mental resilience piece. But that's kind of built over, you've got to put the work in. You know, it doesn't just happen. And I think I think there's something else that you talked about. You talked about how it was, you know, 80% mental and 20% physical at the time when it came to winning your golds, which is incredibly interesting. And, you know, and then you had that preparedness piece. It's almost like you can't always anticipate what's going to go wrong. But actually, as you do the thing and you fail, I love the idea that you actually celebrate failure, because if you're not failing, you're not trying.
No.
And I think anything worth doing, it takes intention. And a lot of people are scared to take that first step to maybe improve their lives. And whatever, you know, whether it's fitness or whether it's business or whatever it is, a lot of folks kind of are staying in the rut. They're doing the same thing. They're expecting different results, but it never happens. But I think it's quite a nice message that, you know, you actually have to do things. And sometimes if you do immerse yourself into, you know, one of your programs, or, you know, it doesn't have to be your program, but something that you can learn new things, be surrounded by, you know, like-minded people that might be in a different, in a similar kind of headspace, and that sense of community and that support. I don't know whether you can comment on that, but
I think it's just interesting how you can just get in a real downward spiral almost if you are, you know, you haven't got that mindset or you're not in a great place. And that's often that, you know, things are out of your control. But I think the thing that I learned with my athletics days is that so much of it is the mental side of it. And I mean, I used to say about 70%, but even now, 70%. how it's helped me, you know, if I've got a new project or if I'm trying to deliver a new talk or I'm meeting somebody for the first time, you know, that learning those skills around, you know, the power of the mind and that visualization and putting yourself in another person, you know, and watching yourself from the outside, feeling it from the inside, and learning those actual skills. It's not just something you can just rock up and do. You've got to learn those sort of skills and what that takes. And it has, it's just helped me so many times. And especially if, you know, you get rejection and, you know, you might have days when you feel very anxious and you've been on social media too long and, you know, I do all those sorts of things.
Human, right?
Exactly. And you come off the other side and you go, oh, I don't feel very good about myself. No. And then, you know, it's about what do you then look in place? And that is often for me now, it has to be that holistic side. And yes, a lot of it is the mind. But, you know, this morning we had a late night last night, but yeah, the best thing I had to do was just to get up and go for a walk with the dog. You know what I mean? It's bringing out, it's recognizing those other pieces that can help you so much, and have good, positive people around you when you can. And sometimes, you know, choose your friends almost.
Yeah,
Or if you're not in control of that, you maybe have to work with somebody is what you can put in place, or what, when do you remove yourself?
Yeah.
So there's so much to it. But I do feel that I've learned a lot on the way, still learning, and I'm excited. I'm excited for the next 20 years, you know. I've got no insight in ever wanting to stop what I do. I love what I do. And I think, you know, I'm in that position where you can share your stories and help and support people. And I think that is what, you know, we are going to be needing in the next 10, 20 years is that support and help and share things. And we're all so much more open than we used to do, which is brilliant. But we just need to be building on it as well.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's the whole holistic side of things is really nice, because there's a lot of different career pathways after being an athlete, right? There's so many different things you can do. And in a way, you're kind of embodying this coach type of personality, where a lot of athletes, after you retire, a lot of them turn into coaches, and then you coach the next generation. But I like how you know, you're not really even restricted to just runners, for example. Like, now you're just helping everyone, which is super nice. What's the workshop called?
So it's just going to be Sally Gunnell's Life Skills. And I think with it is that, you know, it's my husband coaches, he's got the athletes, and it's great to be still involved at, you know, four athletes trying to get to the Paris Olympics next year. Wow. And I love that side of it. But, you know, I do help, enjoy helping people. But also, I've built an amazing team of, you know, around me of specialists.
Right.
And that is what I would have done in my day to get, you know, it's only so far you can go on your own knowledge and your own support. And it's about, you know, finding out with the courses about who is in your team and building that team. And often now, you know, it can be anybody from a really good friend that says the right things to mother-in-law that does me ironing, or you know, somebody who picks the kids up. But you know, we've got a whole team of specialists around us, of you know, nutritionalists and skin aging sort of as therapists, and just about injuries, and because there's always somebody's got, I got a niggle here or whatever, but posture and things like that, and then the sort of psychotherapists and that sort of thing. So I've built this sort of amazing team, people I've worked with in the past, going back quite a few years, and some new people that I've come across in the last few years, so you know, still inspire me, and I love their work, and you know, and I'm just excited that they've come on board, so it's great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm interested. So you're obviously you've turned athlete to coach, but you obviously had a lot of coaching throughout your career. I don't know whether there was any standout moments from coaches, but obviously you've obviously taken that, as Xander touched upon, and you kind of brought it into your work now, into your workshops. That coaching piece is kind of an interesting, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, we can all benefit from somebody that you might just look at things a bit different. Can you comment a bit about that, about the importance of a coach, and just some of your, you know, experiences, you know, being coached, you know, and as an athlete, and even now, do you know, do you work with coaches even now with your, you know, professional, commercial focus?
Coaching is a great skill. I you know, admire my husband. The patience he has, that's the number one thing that I love. But a good coach to me is a good listener, somebody that treats everybody as an individual. I think that's really key. You know, everyone in my training group, we had different training programs and working on our strengths and our weaknesses, and I like that. Somebody who's always bringing new ideas, new skills in, because I think there is an element of doing the same training day in and day out, and you know, they always say, isn't it, that our sort of minds have about 46 hours that we get excited about something and then it goes off.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
So if you were to go on holiday, the first 46 hours is the best.
Yeah, I've heard about
that. And then you just sort of...
46, that's been 46.
I don't know why 46. And then it sort of just tapes off. And it's the same, you know, if you are eating the same food, you know, you just lose that enjoyment. So I think with a coach, they bring that... you know, that variety in, that enjoyment in, and mixing it up. And I think that's what I respect of a coach, and not always do. I mean, you have to sometimes do the good old basic skills, you know, those hurdles, drills or whatever. And you can never shy away from that. But it's about bringing other areas in and helping. And you know, that is coaching in life as well, isn't it? I think sometimes we forget to be coached and supported. And... yeah, and that sometimes we're coaching somebody else and we don't actually know we're doing it. And I think that's a, you know, that's sort of an important part that we have to take on.
Yeah, so it's something that you've been doing throughout your career, and something that you're, I'm sure your workshop is helping a lot of other people do, is this idea of embodying the person you want to be before you are that person, and you touched it on just now. That's a hot topic nowadays. Yes.
It is, and it is, I mean, it is, isn't it? You have this vision, you know, we work out what it is, you know, where you guys want to go with your company, or you know, where you want to be in 5 years with work or whatever else. But the piece is always what goes in between. What does that look like? And you know, and I think that is always the piece that was so key with as an athlete, and so key in my life now, because it's like, I always just describe it as like this little stepping stones, and you have to have those visions, and you might go one step forward and you might go two steps back. But it's important to have, you know, and I always remember my physiologist or a psychologist always saying to me, it's clarity in your vision. So you've got to have clarity in that pathway to what it is that you're trying to achieve. And it might be, you know, you're trying to run a 5K pot run, you know, and which is brilliant. Yeah. And, you know, and I love it. And you've given yourself 12 weeks and you've got yourself a training program. You've got yourself a, you know, a training buddy, a new pair of shoes. So you've thought about what it is that's going to go in place. And you might be looking at your nutrition because, yeah, you know, that's going to help because I might lose a bit of weight before I get there. So it's the same in whatever it is you're trying to think about. It's important to go, okay, what is it actually going to take to get there? You know, with the workshops now, that's what I'm doing, is what is it actually going to take? Yeah. And our first one's in February. So it's, we're putting those little pieces in place and doing that visualization. So it's And it's about spending that time with that visualization, that, you know, it doesn't have to be massive amount of time, but it's giving yourself 5 minutes of sitting on a sofa, having a cup of coffee, going for that walk this morning and allowing yourself to take yourself off. And I think something that sports always taught me is, you know, not to reflect too much on the past. And I think sometimes it's very easy to always reflect too much on the past. And I want the course to be very much, and my life is very much, is right, well, that's done.
Yeah.
What does, yeah, how do we move forward? And what does moving forward look like?
Yeah. Something that keeps coming up is, you know, it's all very well knowing what you want, but sometimes you have to sit. I mean, you touched on it, sit with yourself to actually become self-aware, to actually know what you want. Because I think there's a lot of people that they're in their heads.
Can't even sit with themselves.
They're in this whole groundhog day. They think they know what they want, but actually they haven't invested in themselves for that quietness. And whether it's walking the dogs or whether it's meditating or whether it's just having some time out to actually think, actually, what do I want? What am I feeling?
I often find that it's quite a good way of doing it is actually to look at what three things do you don't like. So I often start with the other end, because it's hard sometimes to get to that vision.
You're not ready.
I don't really know what it is. I don't know what I want to do. I'm lost. So I often start with, you know, the other end of what do I really not like about myself or my life or what I'm doing. And it doesn't have to be massive, but it might be, I don't know, you don't like commuting or you don't like, I don't know, the creative job you're in or whatever it might be, or you don't like, you know, how you feel about yourself or your house or what you look like or whatever it may be. So I think if you start by the end bit of the three things that you don't like, then it just gives you a bit of a thing like, okay, well, how can I actually change these? Because it's not always about job wise or career. It's actually sometimes just a, you know, just where you want to be next month. And, you know, I don't like these three things about myself. And then it just helps, then goes, well, what would I have to change to move forward a bit? And then you sort of work in your head and you want, well, okay, I don't really want to commute. I want a job that I can, I don't know, ride my bike to. So it's like, okay, so I've got to look for a job that's in maybe the next, within 8 miles, 5 miles or whatever it may be. So it just starts to then open up, you know, that vision, and allows you to then start to grow with it. So I think that's always a good way of starting.
Yeah, that's such a good point. No, it really is, because I think a lot of the time when people don't know what they want to do, it's like you walk in and you don't even know where you want to go. Whereas usually, like most of the time, you don't realize actually you're holding stuff. You're carrying all these things that are holding you back. So actually the best thing to do first, if you don't know what to do, is probably to just start offloading some of those stuff.
Exactly. And it could just be, I don't know, certain friends, friendships.
Yeah, they're just taking away from
good,
you.
Or whatever, you know, a bit toxic, or where you sit in an office. Or
I think you just read my mind. Because I was thinking, I think it's just being aware though, isn't it?
It's actually, is being aware.
If you spend the time to focus on what you don't like, which most people don't even give themselves time to do that, sit with it, feel the feeling. And then, so cut away the stuff you don't like. Or actually, and then it just helps you figure out what you need to do. It then turns into actions, doesn't it? I need to cut away the commute, or I need to make a change, I need to, you know, leave this relationship, or I need to spend less time with this person.
And I think often it's good to make those decisions on, you know, after, or question yourself after you've had a good night's sleep, because you know you make the wrong decisions, or you think of things too deeply. If you've only had 4 or 5 hours sleep, it's not good enough. You know, sleep is just it's massive, but it's very hard to get sometimes. You know, we're all been there, haven't we? I still sometimes now wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes because I've gone to bed too early. That's my biggest wing at the problem.
That's
the moment.
A good problem to have.
I know, but then I'm like 3 o'clock going, oh, I don't want to get up now. Anyway, so, but that then goes, you know, if I eat too late at night, so if I'm waiting for my eldest son to come in because he's been working in the gym because he's a personal trainer, so he doesn't get in till 8, so you're like, we're all eating, it's just too late then. So, you know, little things like that, it's like, right, okay, I've got to put something on earlier that he can come in, I can eat at 6 o'clock.
What a good mum.
Well, there is, there's all these sort of, I think there's lots of things that you can all, you can look at that then helps and supports that decision. And I just know that you know, to keep myself in a good, positive place and to be able to, I don't know, keep your memory as it as you go, as you get older. And, you know, lots of those other outer bits just play a really important part of it.
I think actually sometimes we don't feel like doing anything. And I think that's okay sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone goes through difficult, tough times. And it's almost like, you know, I just what something I thought of is just sit with it, feel the pain or feel the sadness or feel the you're blue. And that's okay. And it will pass. And I think we all, a lot of us kind of beat ourselves up for feeling a certain way, or you can't, if you're feeling that way, then okay, you can take action and you can change it, but sometimes you just need to do nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you want to go fast, sometimes you need to slow down and do nothing. To go fast, you're going to go slow. And I think we talked about that the other day, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest traits of being a sports person is that you're a fixer. So it's something that I've had to really change and listen to, because I'll, you know, if I'm talking to somebody who's got a problem, I'll try and fix it. And you can't always fix the problem. And so I've really had to, in the last 10 years, of really give yourself the time that you're talking about, and step away for it. Don't make decisions straight away. You know, give yourself now, you know, a couple of days. I don't go back on an email as quick sometimes as I would, because I might be a bit angry or whatever. I'll give myself a couple of days. And I think the other thing that I've really had to do, and I have struggled with, is that whole piece about rest time and stopping. Because, you know, sport doesn't allow you to do that almost. Well, it does in that you've got to recover, but it was forced. But, you know, the day you retire, it's like, God, I've got all this time now. Well, what now? Can I do? So I've had to, purposely go, right, I'm doing nothing today. And I actually get enjoyment of having a day when there's nothing in the diary. I don't know if that's an age thing, but I think it's good, and I think it's something that we should do at you know, all stages almost, of actually say, right, I'm going to do nothing on this Sunday, I'm not going to have anything in there, and just have that reflective day. And
you come back stronger afterwards.
Me time day. Exactly.
Something I wanted to touch on as well was that I realized that most of the time people spend their days or their time thinking about the things that they don't like. And it's so subconscious that we don't realize it, but actually we think more about the things we don't like, the things that we don't want, the things that are in our life that we don't want to be in our life anymore. And we spend less time thinking about what we do want. And so trying to shift that drastically from the other side to the other, it's just so much work. So I think
I think the other thing that's has been key as well, that I've also I had to sort of bring into my life, is like, is actually celebrating things that are good and recognizing things that you are, because sport, just you're just on this conveyor belt, aren't you? And you're right, you win an Olympic gold medal, and you're like, right,
next,
well, that's fine, what's next?
Because
you're so scared of failure, you're so scared of not being that athlete, you're so scared of what people are going to say. And I think sometimes it is about celebrating and recognizing those little wins. And I think that was probably one of my regrets, that I never ever really celebrated any of that.
But you're doing it now.
I'm doing it now.
Right.
Yeah. And I do it every day sometimes. And it might be that I go for a, you know, a little 5K run, and I'll have a cake at the end of it, which is probably not the best thing. But, you know, sometimes it is just going, yeah, you know, that's a good project I've done there. Or, you know, I have been out for a bit of exercise today. And, you know, I think it's just recognizing those little bits and not always thinking of living in that past. And I haven't got anything. I can't do this. You know. But it's like, well, that's a little tick here, and giving yourself that little tick almost.
Yeah, that's nice. I think, celebrating wins, that is a big thing. Yeah, athletes, I think.
We're not good, are we? I mean, no, maybe that's what drives you on, isn't it? Maybe that's where you go to that higher level it and is, you need it. But sometimes I don't think it's always healthy.
Yeah,
in life.
Terms of peace within you. Go ahead.
No. Yeah, well, I was just thinking. That those incremental things, those little things that can be celebrated too, because I think a lot in society now, especially with young people, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. You know, they're comparing themselves with someone that might be, we talked about, you know, in a matter of, you know, they might be 1,000 steps ahead of them. And so they can't, you know, and they feel bad. But actually, if they can start feeling good about the little progress, the little things, that they do, then they build and they compound.
Yeah, exactly.
And the more, you know, and it might be the silly little thing, you know, do you go for the Snickers bar or the banana? You know, it's the little tiny, the things that are easy to do but also easy not to do. But actually, that's good. The fact that you actually wake up in the morning, the fact that you can go for a dog walk,
I think the thing that I always learn is that, you know, you don't get much praise out there. You don't get confidence from other people very often. Mm-hmm. Confidence has to come from you.
From within. Yeah.
You know, and if you're just waiting for it to happen around you and somebody, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It has to come from within you and for you to say, well, that's a pretty pleased with that bit of work, or quite pleased with that, you know, weight session in the gym or the run or whatever. And you have to purposely get into that routine of finding it, you know, on those scary days of, you know, of racing. You know, that mind was all over the place. Like, oh, God, I'm a bit tired today. I didn't really, sleep very well last night.
Maybe I've got the flu.
Oh, exactly. My tummy hurts or whatever else. Rather than go, okay, so I have actually trained really well for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, I've got no sort of niggles. I haven't missed any training and I've eaten quite well. So you have to consciously find that, and I think that's a really good routine, and almost to get into one of your bits on your list of your day, or you know, I sometimes do it at the end of the day. You know, people often say this, isn't it, to do write down 3 things of what you have actually achieved in that day, and I think it's a really good thing to do because it often you know, and I do struggle sometimes going, what is it, but makes you think about what I actually have done in that day.
Yeah. Do you do it every day, or do you do it every when you can?
I do. I put a book next to my bed and I will get into bed and most nights, depending on how tired I am, I will write down 3 things that I've done in that day. And pathetic, silly things like, I don't know, I've cooked a nice meal for my family.
Yeah, that's a win.
It is. It's finding those wins.
Yeah.
And you all of a sudden it makes you realise that, okay, I have done, you know, feel good and that about yourself. So,
It's funny, my wife's American and I've got 3 teenage daughters. They're dual national. And today's Thanksgiving.
Oh,
so we're going to have a turkey. Although actually the one we bought it showed up frozen.
Oh,
so
no.
We can't cook that one. So I wonder, anyway. So, but no, it's just being thankful. But I think recognizing what we've achieved is good. I think riding is, I mean, I'd like to incorporate that habit into my day. I don't do it enough, actually.
Lots of people do journaling, don't they, where they write down lots of things. I'm not that type of person. And I'll put my hands up and say, and I really know it works for quite a lot of people that I have around me. But for me, just writing 3 things down takes me, you know, a couple of minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't take long. And it's something I know I can stick with,
because often
we do
back.
Things and we never, you know, it's too big and it's not something that we can, you know, keep up with. So I think it's about, you know, getting those little small wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think when you are having a bit of a tougher day, you know, it's quite nice actually if you have that record, you can look back and say, well, actually, you know, my life is good and or whatever. I mean, I'm just
Even if you never look back, you've written it, and you know, yeah, it's gone in there.
It's in there. Yeah, exactly. There. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You've done it.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I think we're starting to touch on a new topic. It's interesting to see how it's flowing. So we've gone from sort of visualizing and finding who you want to be first, but I think now we're getting into like it's taking responsibility, right? And I think being an athlete, actually, that teaches you all you need to know about personal responsibility, right? If you don't put in the work, no problem, someone's gonna come in and take your place, like, and then it's on you, right? And so I think even what you're doing with your workshops, right, it's sort of like this process of first reflect on yourself. You have to be able to look inwards, because that's where all the change needs to come from. And then it's sort of, okay, where do I want to go? Visualizing that and making sure you know that you have the right routes to where you want to go. But then from there, it's the hard work every day, right? And so it's the consistency within doing the, you're right.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned that a lot, the two words, working hard work is actually quite a triggering word for a lot of young people nowadays, especially, well, I think just anyone really, because there's instant gratification.
Yeah.
And we can get things like that now. So like no one really wants to work hard for what they want.
It's about, I think it's getting that right though. You know, I've got three boys, 18, 22 and 25. So they're, you know, they're that group that are out there and they're working, but it's that, hang on a minute, this is hard work. Hang on a minute. But I think it's about training smart.
That's what
athletics taught me, is that you can't, you know, training, working hard, you've got to put the time in. Mm-hmm. But it's got to be quality.
Mm. Yeah.
And training smart was like, okay, I'm going to do, you know, 3 hours pushing here, but then I'm going to take that break at 11 o'clock and I'm going to sit and have my coffee, or I'm going to go for a walk and recharge myself, and then I'm going to go again, you know, or, I might change it up and do something else. You can't just keep going hard out, you know, and burnout is a massive thing that we all talk about, and it is such a thing, and it's, you know, it's not good, and it's going to get worse almost if we carry on. So I think it's about, for that younger generation, is about training smart, and I think they will understand it. And I think the thing that I've noticed with that generation is also they are quite healthy and, you know, they're very driven people, but you know, it's a bit like, well, they want it all, and it want it all instantly.
Now. Yeah, right now.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think that's where it helps to have that sort of like, okay, where do you actually want to be in 5 years' time? Because you can't just jump in. You can't just give up. You know, I watch it with my boys and you go, well, hang on, I'm not there yet. So I'm going to try something else. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's that piece that, you know, that's where you're going to go, well, why hasn't it worked? What, you know, actually reflect back, and, you know, and again, that's what you would have done with sports performance, is like, well, that didn't work. Why didn't that work? And that was because I was, I don't know, the left leg was in the wrong place or whatever else. And I think that's the same with something that's coming as a bit of a challenge. I think it's actually really good to look at that challenge and go, well, why isn't it working at the moment? What is it that's not clicking? And, you know, and sometimes you have to do a big left turn and hurdle with the other leg. Yeah. You know, we've had days like that where, know, you've had to do things like that and you think, God, I'm never going to be able to do that. But it's incredible that you then get that discipline and go again. And that's what, you know, that takes, and it's these are all skills, and you know, and I look at my boys now, and you know, and they have got lots to learn, and I want them to almost fail at the moment, which is really quite sad, isn't it? But, and I can see them, you know, they're coming up against their barriers, and you know, questioning lots of things. And the 18 year old stood there a couple of days ago, I spent my month's money. So I said to him, well, you're gonna have to get another job on top of that one. You know, it's just working those bits out, and I think it's good for them. So, it's tough. But, you know, I think They do listen. I think it's great. They like advice. They take on board. I think they're much healthier. I'm not just talking about my kids, but I think kids generally, they get the, you know, not drinking quite so much culture mm-hmm. a bit, and they do eat yeah. healthy, and they understand yeah. that much yeah. more yeah. than we probably do later
yeah,
in life.
Yeah, so the awareness piece of like yeah. of these things and how it affects, mm-hmm. you know, such as drinking or whatever, yeah. how they affect not even just yourself, but no. how it affects everyone.
Much more,
but then
touch.
Yeah, when it comes to like, okay, let's talk about what you want then. Oh yeah, yeah, I want this and I want it right now, yeah, and I don't want to work for it. Yeah. I just want it.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's very interesting how
yeah. We talked about something we touched on it just now, but there is a shift in the world. I think there's more. I think people are becoming more individualistic. You know, they're realizing their own power, which is a really positive thing. Yeah. I think. The dark side is the rise of narcissism and
right.
you know the whole social media thing. But I think there's that there's actually more pros than cons when it comes to technology and social and the rest of it. It's just knowing how to harness these tools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is okay to fail. And I think
yeah, exactly.
You know, and sometimes I mean I've got as I mentioned three my teenagers are 6, 16, 7. Well, in fact, my 17-year-old's turning 18 next week, and my 19-year-old's turning 20 in January. So. You know, just seeing them go through their different struggles yeah. and but actually yeah. yeah, failure is actually a good thing yeah. But I think with this it's just knowing who you are and that we are powerful mm. You know, and I've got three amazing humans and I think it's a great opportunity for them actually
yeah.
because they're very powerful mm.
And I think it goes back to you know, always having people you look up to and role models. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
you know, I always did in sport, always, all the way through. And, you know, how important they are. Somebody that, you know, I work with, you know, have mentors that in organisations that I work with. And, you know, and I think that's what, you know, because I do come up against people always asking me about, you know, the success of women in sport and still the struggles and closing the gap mm-hmm. and that side of it. And so it's a real big topic. And I always say it's been incredible how, you know, how far we've come, but we've still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're talking about, well, the women's England football players get the same pay as the men. It's a long way off, isn't it? But, you know, they are closing their gap and the recognition is incredible. But we just have to keep pushing. And I often sort of think, you know, I'd hate to be, you know, at the top of my game now because of all the social media. That adds a whole another dimension onto it. And, but I think also it is good in that it's allowing, especially within sport, girls to realise what they can actually achieve.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, maybe not all women's sport is on television. It's definitely better than it used to be. You know, are we still getting the coverage in papers and magazines? Has it moved away from, you know, you've only the good-looking ones that are on the covers and, you know, that side of it. But that's where social media can be a good thing because you can follow, you know, some of the athletes are incredible, the stories that they put on and very inspiring and allowing the girls to think, yeah, I can do this and, you know, and I'm going to go on this journey as well. And, you know, to have at the Olympics 3 years ago, more women were in the Great Britain team than there were men, which is incredible.
Wow, okay, I didn't realise that.
More medals were won by women as well.
Okay,
so.
Fantastic.
That's amazing.
I mean, just to highlight this, you know, not on the sports side of things, but I think £1 of every 100 of VC money goes to female founders, and I think 10% go to mixed gender startups. So even on the business world, and that is... I think that is changing, but again, I think it just highlights the fact that...
How far we've got
why? To go. Why? I mean, you know, and there's a big debate around it. I think if you compared the percentage of female business owners, I think it's a much higher percentage of directors of companies. But I'm, you know, but as far as the startup scene, there's definitely yes, 1% of VC funds, which is
and a lot of the work that I do in the corporate world. It's you know, they're you know, but the message that comes out is like, we've got so many incredible women, mm-hmm. but they haven't got that confidence. They've come back from having kids. Mm-hmm. You know, they've come back. They could move so much further up in an organization. They've got all the skills, but they just lack that confidence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, can you go in and address this sort of area? So I think confidence is everything at every level, isn't it? You know, whether you're talking about sport or, you know, just general at whatever level, but even at that top end of that, you know, CEOs, chief execs, whatever else, it's having that, you know, we can do it. We can balance work, house, you know, we might not do it brilliantly every single day, but it is possible to do. And it's then having organisations that allow you and support you and allow you to go off and sports days and whatever else and, you know, nativity plays and allowing that culture from within it. And that still needs to change as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think motherhood as well. I mean, that's, I've got a lot of respect for my wife raising, you know, three daughters. Just incredible amount of work. I'm pretty hands-on dad, but even so, it still does fall on the mum. But those skills can be applied in business. I met an entrepreneur last week, Kendall, single mum, five children, has built an AI company to, you know, million plus revenue, a superwoman.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Amazing. And she's got three dogs too. I mean, how on the earth does she do? I don't know.
That's great.
But we'd like to have her on here, actually.
Yeah, you should.
But anyway, it's almost like, on the positive side, the world, there is a shift. People are becoming aware. And, you know, well, it doesn't matter who you are, but, you know, it's just knowing your power, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I like to, because when it comes to my daughters, I like to talk to them, but they, you know, raising independent humans, it doesn't matter whether they're female, but, actually, you know, the world needs to catch up, doesn't it?
It is. And it's moving in that direction, which is great. I mean, is there sort of little segments of like equality in that, that you'd like to touch on that maybe it's a little bit easier for people to start exploring, to change the way that they think or work about things?
I think a lot of it goes back to, if I look back to when I was, you know, performing, I was probably the only woman that was on the whole circuit from Great Britain with the, you know, the Linford Christies and the Colin Jacksons and these sort of guys. And my feeling behind it, and it was what did drive me, is that I knew I had to go that next level. I knew that just being an Olympic champion wasn't going to do it.
It's crazy.
Which is crazy.
It is absolutely insane, isn't it?
Yeah, but that, it almost, like... it drove me. It's what made me train better.
Fire in your belly.
Yeah, it did. It gave me that fire in the belly to go, well, I can do this and I'll go to that next level. It wasn't a case of, well, I'm never going to achieve that, so I'm going to, you know, and shout about it all the time. It was about, right, what is it going to take to prove that I am as good as these guys and that I deserve the same? And, you know, it took a world record and a world champs almost to do that. And you go, oh, people go, oh, you are quite good, aren't you?
Well,
we might put you on the front of this magazine or...
Maybe,
you know.
We'll think about it.
Exactly. So I would just say to people, you know, don't look at it as a barrier, look at it as an opportunity to you know, to see what you can break down and where you can go with it and defy people and give yourself that fire that you need to definitely
because you can channel those emotions, can't you? I mean your emotions are there to do stuff, so it's like how you harness it, because you can either become, I guess, the victim when you're faced with a challenge, or it's or you turn it around and you use it for strength. Is that book, I think it's called The Obstacle is the Way. It's a silly little book. But it's again, it's like when there's a big mountain of a challenge, it's like, well, how can you use that for strength? But that's a good message, isn't it? It's get angry about it, get that fire in your, you know, to force change. So that maybe, you know,
and watch the movie, I think it was last night or two nights ago. I'm not going to say what it was, but something was going on. Someone's trying to reach their full potential or whatever. And then their friend said, like, I believe like your full potential, like your full power lies somewhere between anger, full anger, and complete serenity.
Ooh, okay. Whoa. Interesting.
Like right there in the middle. And I think like it was really, really interesting. I was like, oh, that is very true. And I think as an athlete, that's really relatable. You do have that fire. You have that like, I want to. But then also you need to be in the zone. And you talked about being in the zone. Being in the zone, in the flow, that also lives in everything else. Creative, musical. I think even building a business, for example, you get into these little states where you can just, I don't know what even is it. Like, do you have your theories on what being in the zone is, the flow?
So it only ever happened twice, and it wasn't something that I could just do week in, week out. I think it's about, you know, we talked about that inner sort of power that you have as an athlete in that, you know, you step up. It's your responsibility.
Yep.
And I think what happens until you get to that state where you can do that, you put too much out for other people and it's other people's faults. So actually, it is your responsibility. You've got to step up. You've got to own it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you have to own it first of all. And then it is about, the time spent in that, just that power of the visualization and knowing exactly what you've got to execute. And going into the zone is that it just happens. You literally, I don't remember, apart from, one line, because I made a mistake in a world championships. So that didn't, had settled too much in my mind. Yeah. We worked on, at the same point, throwing a positive in. So it's really good to have good mantras, positive, don't have to be big, but just positive lines that you tell yourself. So my positive line was, this is yours, you've got it. That's it. So as soon as that came in, that was the only piece that I remember coming into my mind.
I love it.
I don't, it's just it's a crazy thing where you just,
I got it.
You've done it. You've rehearsed it in your mind so many times.
Yeah.
And you just play it out to the point where you cross the line and you just, you don't know. You don't know whether that is real, whether it's not, whether it's like made up. It's like, am I going to wake up in a minute or what's going on?
I think even just the line you've got it, that implies you've already won.
Yeah.
And you're already that person. Yep. You're already the winner. Yeah. So you've embodied it. Like.
And I think I think that's a really good thing for people to have little mantras in their life, you know, and just when times are tough, just, you know, just saying that one line, and it could be, you know, you're the best or, you know, enjoy life.
So mantras, preparation. I'm trying to... For anybody,
mantras,
so obviously
preparation,
for you,
well, that visualization piece, having clarity in your vision, so you know exactly, which is probably easier when you're on a sports field in some respects. But then I go, you know, it's but I've heard football players, I've heard lots of people say that they're delivering a speech and they don't almost remember the whole speech because they've rehearsed it in their minds so many times. They know. And, you know, as I was saying before, you want to feel it from within of how you're going to deliver it to being somebody watching it down there and watching that person move on the stage or whatever it may be. Or, you know, you're going for a job interview. You know, it's such a great thing.
Yeah.
So you just get in there and you just reel it off.
Yeah.
And it just happens.
It's a, I'm very interested in that whole...
I wish I could get there again.
It's very strange. Yeah. You sort of slip into it and your body just takes over, right? It's like your motor, and that's where your preparation comes
in. I think also it is, nerves, expectation, all of that comes into it as well. So you've got to be quite like, quite on edge almost in some respects, but not in a way that you're so stressed. It's more like, this is it. This is the big one.
Anxiety and excitement are like the same reaction, the chemical reaction.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's the same thing. It's just your narrative, whether you put it on. Like,
anxiety or excitement. You
can choose.
Okay, wow.
It's the same reaction going on.
I like that. Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's, I remember when we first talked to you, you had talked about rehearsing all the problems that could happen. If a hurdle fell over, you hit a hurdle. Yeah. If you fell over, you would get up. And I know that you can't, you were talking about, you can't predict everything that could go wrong, but you could probably over, by doing the thing, you know, you get conditioned to knowing, it almost becomes automatic. If you fall over, you get up. If you hit a hurdle, you get, you know, it's, and it's, you just build that resilience. And I think that was really impactful when we talked, you know.
And first. I think it is a real part of that whole visualization of things, because so often things will go wrong. You know, the bus turns up late, and you've got to warm up in less, you know, normally you have an hour, but you've got 50 minutes or 40 minutes. So lots of people will go, well, I can't warm up in 40 minutes.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
But you
but
go,
you got
I know what I'm going to do in 40 minutes and I can warm up. Yep. So you don't panic. You're not panicking about things that are out of your control or whatever. So it's just, you know.
I think it's important as well to stress that when you reflect on your past mistakes, it is a good thing to do, but to not just reflect on the mistake and then that's it. You have to think about what you could improve or like the solution to it, because then that trains you for the future things that happen. Okay, something's not going right now in this moment. What can I do to solve it? And it leaves you in a higher vibration than in a low. If you just reflect thinking about all the stuff you did wrong and then leave it, you're just leaving yourself in a really bad place.
Exactly.
You have to like switch the attention to the good things.
Yeah, I've got something to add to that. So I had the privilege of spending those five mornings, consecutive days with Eddie Jones over on two occasions. And there was a book I was reading at the time called Thinking in Bets. And I actually recommended it to Eddie because we were chatting in the sauna. And he actually had read it by the time I saw him the next day. He'd already read it in 24 hours. Incredible.
Well, that's crazy.
But it was basically, even when you win, you know, it could be luck. You know, it could be luck. So if you've got a 75% chance of winning, but you lose, it doesn't mean to say that decision is wrong. By the same token, if you have a 25% of winning, and you win, then it means it might be that you still made the wrong decision. But it's even when things go well, it's unpicking the decisions that actually could be actually wrong. You just got lucky. I know we're kind of running out of time now. But that's probably a conversation for another time. So obviously we've touched on a number of different amazing topics. Is there any advice you want to leave our listeners with? And then where can folks find you if they want to get involved with these programs that you're putting together?
Lovely.
If you could leave our listeners with something that they need to hear.
I mean, I suppose one of the questions people always say to me, what would you change about yourself? It's really made me think over the years of what that would be. And I think for me, I would have said to my younger self, don't take yourself too seriously. There will be lots of failures. I used to worry so much about what other people used to think or do. And, and that was a journey I had to go on, was to change that outlook. And I think I wished I wasn't like that as a young person moving up. And I think I would have, those are the things I had to change to be that athlete on that day and perform. And I think I wished I'd had that earlier. Excuse me.
Yeah, take a break.
It's been. It's normally me coughing away. So.
We went to this thing on Saturday night, and it was had a smoke machine, and we were dancing right in front of.
Oh, there
it.
You
and
go.
And I think it's since then.
Yeah, it might be
something caught you. Yeah.
And I think. What was the last? Oh yeah, and if people want to get a hold of me, then go to the website sallygunnell.com. Instagram, all the usual social media. Love to chat to people.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, it's fantastic. Been lovely having you.
Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Sally.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Rocket Pod with Sally Gunnell. We had certainly lots of fun and delved into lots of interesting topics. When you get a moment, we'd love it if you could hop over to whatever platform you're listening to Rocket Pod on and leave us a quick review. your comments help inspire us to pick more guests that are relevant to you on your journey.
Yeah, there's quite a few things today that we covered with Sally. The thing that stood out the most for me was making sure that you're on top of your mindset. You can train every day, get where you want to be physically, but you know, if up here you don't have it on lock, then it's going to be really hard to perform at the top level.
Yeah, and for me, actually, it was kind of a holistic approach to wellness. So it's good to get active and get moving. It's never too late to start. Mm-hmm. And I think another thing that, you know, Sally highlighted was, you know, there's different seasons for different things. I mean, Sally, you know, with her her career as a gold Olympian and then transitioning to a personal and wellness coach and public speaker, and just being intentional, and it's kind of building those incremental habits to kind of, I guess, manifest themselves to positive mm-hmm. change, really.
Definitely.
So I love the holistic approach to wellness.
Yeah, yeah. I think a little bit that really intrigued me a lot, and you guys can let us know if you want us to delve into it a bit more. But for me, the idea of being in flow, being in the zone, the story of when she didn't really remember anything of how when she was running, I can relate to that a lot. In music and in sports as well, so would love to speak to more guests regarding that topic. So let us know if you guys would be interested in that too.
Yeah, it's that mental preparedness piece as well, isn't it? So and I think as Sally develops her programs, we will make you guys aware of them. I think some of them are still building and growing, so we'll keep you updated, and we'd love to have Sally back you know, in a few years' time when she's a bit further ahead with her current projects.
So, yeah, part three. Remember to subscribe, let us know your thoughts in the comments, and make sure to follow us online so you don't miss a beat.
Have a great week ahead.